This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive here, right here live on Sports Radio 610. You just heard from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. A lot more civil today. Didn't get spicy today.
You guys good?
Yeah, did not end with the dismount of you guys good and a stare down and almost like a step like he was about to walk off. Much better, man. Good for both parties as he met with the media today ahead of this big game against the Denver Broncos for the Texans. Denver sits at 6-2 ahead of the Chargers and the Chiefs in the AFC West, coming off of a big offensive performance against the Dallas Cowboys, as the Texans need a big win coming up on Sunday, 3-4. Let's head out to the phone lines and let's talk to Benjamin Albright. I like Benjamin Albright. He's always from afar. He always seems to. I don't know if it's you, Benjamin, but sometimes it seems like you stir things up a little bit. At least you say some things and people react to it. I do that a little bit myself, but I enjoy that from you, Benjamin Albright, who, as I said, has been reporting for the Broncos for years and reports for the Broncos flagship and is an insider at KOA Colorado. Ben, we appreciate you joining us. And by the way, I heard right before we got on that Clint Sterner won you a fantasy football league. I'm trying to hear that.
Would you have the Giants defense in 2001 or what?
No, I started Clint Sterner over Rich Gannon. This was October 28th of 2001. Rich was up against a red-hot Philadelphia defense. I was leading my league, and I was like, well, I don't know if I want to start Rich or not. Clint was getting a start after I think it was Anthony Wright or Quincy Carter went down. And Rich was only good for 6 points that day. Didn't score a touchdown. Clint, of course, you ran one in against Arizona and wound up being worth 9 points. That got me to the number one seed later on. And if I'd been two, I would have played a guy and lost in the opening round of the playoffs. Instead, I cruised to victory through the playoffs. So I put it on the trophy there, Benjamin Albright, co-captain by Clint Sterner.
I'll be damned. You got to be kidding me.
Well, I tell you what,
I would have bet a house note that you had that Giants defense that following week.
Benjamin, you don't have to say dead serious. After all those details you gave from 2001, yes, we all believe. We believe you. He's told me about that touchdown he ran in against Arizona.
QB draw, I finger roll. Everybody says, man, you could have dunked. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I couldn't dunk before that. Why would I wait till that moment to try to dunk something? I did that sweet finger roll, baby.
Oh, I swear to you, there was nobody happier for that touchdown after you, maybe, than me.
yeah, you had to meet Linda, his mom, first. But hey, man, what we were talking about this earlier, the Texans, they face the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Bucks this year. We're trying to figure out, is this Denver team the best team that the Texans have seen. What are they looking at? Because we've seen Denver do some things, go on the road and beat the Eagles in the fourth quarter after trailing, had that crazy comeback against the Giants. How good is this Denver Broncos team?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. I mean, they're 6-2. We don't know if they're any good. You know, it's a team that had, you know, with all due respect to Clint's former team, we might have to start calling them the Alice Cowboys because there's no D to be found. But they had that outburst this past week. But you look at the 3 weeks prior to that, it took fourth quarter comebacks against the Giants, the Jets, and then of course the Eagles prior to that. In order to put wins on, they had close losses against the Colts and the Chargers that probably should have been losses. This team is tough to figure out, and this will be by far the most difficult defense they've played all year. They've actually had the easiest schedule in the league in terms of defenses played. So, you know, that's sort of the question. You're 6-2, but are they any good? They play to the level of competition that they're up against, and that's really been sort of the thing with them this year. They'll play up with good teams, they'll play down with bad teams. The offense is hit or miss. You know, Sean Payton's a brilliant offensive mind, but he gets too in his own mind at times. He gets away from the run. He starts spamming these screen plays that don't work. He's dialing up deep shots on fourth and short, stuff like that. That just it just blows your mind a little bit sometimes. They've got the bones to be a good offense, but that offense, if they get away from J.K. Dobbins, it goes south in a hurry. Defensively, they're good. They're real good up front. Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers will tie up blockers, and they love to bring five. They'll bring Benito Cooper. They like to bring a linebacker downhill and shoot that bubble at the B gap. So, usually that's their nod. With Greenlaw back, you might see Singleton doing a little bit of that. You saw the Giants game where he blew up Cam Scatabo. But overall, they're a really good defense. Play a lot of man. It's a lot of cover one, robber looks, stuff like that. They'll show you too high, but they'll rotate the one robber. But they're a good defense. The offense is just the gigantic question mark here.
What about the defense as it moves forward without Surtain? I mean, that's obviously, especially if they're playing that much man and playing robber, all this kind of job, that's going to be a big miss. How big do you think that is in this game?
That's going to be huge. I mean, you know, he takes away part of the field. Riley Moss on the other side, who's not a bad corner, but just a little maligned with these flags. Some of them are legit. Some of them are the white guy playing corner getting flags. You look at this thing, and Moss is a decent corner, but there's a big question mark over here with Chris Abrams-Drain, who'll be the first man up to replace Surtain. Surtain takes away, you know, a third of the field, half the field, whatever, however they're playing, and teams just don't throw at him. Now with Abrams-Drain over there, I imagine they'll probably Houston will probably target him, and the rookie Jahdae Barrett will get rotated in there a little bit, although he plays more out of the slot. That's the big question mark here. They've got good safety play, but Ufanga's more of a box safety than anything else. Brandon Jones is kind of the high safety. They don't like to run a lot of too high. They'll show that look, but they don't like to run it a lot. And so that's the question mark here, is if Abrams-Drain can hold his own on the outside.
Benjamin Albright joins us, who has covered the Broncos for years, reporter and insider, joins us. Listen, I'll be honest with you, and we're going to talk about this a lot through this week, because I believe this is the game for the Texans. The strength that I think of the Broncos is that front four and even that front seven, if you extend it out to that. And I think that has probably been a problem spot for the Texans when they run up against really good defensive line and defensive fronts. How good is this group for the Broncos?
Oh, it's pretty good. I mean, it's up there. I mean, I was privy to see the Super Bowl 50 Broncos defense, and I would put this front five, this front seven up with them. The back end, especially without Surtain, maybe not quite, but the front seven, sure. They got a three-man front with two edge rushers and Benito and Cooper, and they like to bring, like I said, Singleton, Sternad coming downhill. Greenlaw, this will only be his second game with the Broncos. He had one against the Giants, and then, of course, he was suspended for the Dallas game for running after and threatening the official, but he'll be back for this one. That gives them a linebacker that can go away from the football at times too. They don't really have that. Singleton's more of a sideline to sideline guy. Sternad's a downhill guy. So, you know, that'll give him something. But, you know, Benito especially will surprise you. He's just got amazing athleticism for, you know, as a player, and he can go away from the ball a little bit. They'll drop him back two, three times a game to try to throw you off. But it starts up front. You've got DJ Jones and Malcolm Roach platooning at the nose. Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers, is the other ends in that 34. And they'll tie up blockers, man. Allen can move the pile. You get cleanup sacks from Cooper and Benito sometimes because Allen will move the pocket a little bit. You got to be able to move. If you can move on that move that pocket a little bit, you got a little mobility to them, you stand a chance. If you're statuesque, you're in for a long day.
When you look at Denver's offense, I know you said it's been inconsistent. Bo's played well. They've ran it well. They use a ton of different personnel and attack a ton of different ways. But as somebody that covers and watches it, what are you convinced of at this point? Like, the Texans if they want to win, obviously need to focus on and contain X. What is that?
Well, I would say first thing, you need to rattle Bo early. He tends to run a little hot early, and that's one of those things where he'll make mistakes. In fact, you opened Dallas with that interception on, I think it was the third or fourth play. He just tends to run a little hot early. So if you're going to force turnovers, you want to do that early, because once he settles in, he settles in. You're not going to be able to get him to – you're not going to be able to sack him. You're just not. He gets rid of the ball so quick. He will make some mistakes. He will throw the ball a little high. He does get that arm socket. He'll drop it down and throw it sidearm sometimes. That leads to mistakes. But, overall, he wants to get it out quick, doesn't want to take negative plays. So I would suggest that if you're going to do anything, you really want to do anything, copy the Giants game plan where they sort of mush rushed him a little bit, but they shoot their hands up. The defensive linemen shoot their hands up and bat the balls down because he drops that arm socket. And that's really the best you're going to do. You're not going to get too many sacks on him, maybe one, maybe two a game, but you can bat balls down on him. And that's really the way to shut that down. As far as the rushing attack goes, it really just depends on if Sean Payton's willing to be patient or not. Sean tends to shut his own rushing attack down at times, and it's very effective. J.K. Dobbins runs with authority. He catches the ball well. He pass protects well. He runs inside or outside. If it's Harvey, that's probably going to be an outside run. You're probably going to see that crack toss or that outside zone. But you'll see a little bit of him, although he'll mostly be used as a receiver. And then you see Tyler Bidet on third downs, primarily as a blocking back in there if they pull Dobbins off the field. I think the main thing you got to watch out for is Evan Engram. I know everybody talks about Sutton and Mims and Franklin, but Ingram's got a little athleticism. He's more of a heavy slot than a tight end. In fact, he's played more snaps out of the slot than any tight end in the NFL this year. And he's there for the third down game. He's there to convert first downs. You got to keep an eye on him on third down.
Benjamin, as Clint was talking about maybe things that the Texans need to watch out for, I'm wondering from you, the Texans are a team that's been in the playoffs the last 2 years, a good football team. Last time they played the Broncos a couple of years ago, they got a win in NRG here in Houston. What for you do you think is the number one thing that concerns you about the Texans for the Broncos in this game?
I think it's a defense. I mean, Bo plays better against man teams. He struggled a little bit against the zone sometimes. And like I said, he runs a little hot. And then, this offense has just struggled early in games. I mean, it takes off in the fourth quarter, but it struggles early in games. They didn't score any points the first three quarters against the New York Giants. And it's not that the Giants are world beaters. I mean, that defense is all right, but they're not out there lighting the world on fire. They struggled against the New York Jets and barely pulled that one out. It's just an offense that struggles early, and then Sean gets in his head and they start spamming those wide receiver screen plays that don't work. And then you get into a punt fest, and they almost turtle a little bit. They start playing it super conservative till they get to the fourth quarter and open it back up. So if the Broncos are going to win, they're going to have to have tempo on offense. And I'm just concerned going against that defense, because again, that is by far the best defense the Broncos have played all year.
All right, Benjamin, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on your 2001 fantasy football championship, courtesy of our guy Clint Sterner here.
Yeah, I'm 47, knocking on 48. I think the only person on the planet that that started me in a league and won, brother. I appreciate that.
Well, and now you know who it was. Me that week, and I won off of it.
I love it.
All right, man. We appreciate you joining us, man. Enjoy the game coming up on Sunday.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right, that's Benjamin Albright, covers the Broncos in Denver, and he's been a staple there for years. And I'm glad we're able to get him on. Good job by you, Tyler. Very detailed guy. There to give us everything we need to know about the Broncos. Hearing him, Clint, did that make you feel better about the game for the Texans? Anything? He talked about Surtain being big, being out as a big thing, and talked about the Bo Nix and Sean Payton situation.
Well, I think offensively, you know, as a Texans fan, I like hearing the fact that there's times Sean will shoot himself in the foot and get away from the run, try to get creative, try to do too much. I mean, you just heard D'Amico Ryans right before he came on talking about, look, they're going to strain you in several different ways. It's about variety. They're going to throw a million different things at you. So there obviously there's some truth to what he's saying. There is, in Sean's defense, there's a method to the madness, right? I'm going to make you defend me sideline to sideline, even if it means that I get away from the run a little bit. I'm setting you up to hit you on this side. I mean, there's a lot of that to Sean, of the forward thinking, the running certain plays that may not work to set up other plays, the pump screens, the, you know, different things. There's always a method to the madness with Sean. Obviously, every play he's trying to break it and get it, you know, move the ball and score points. But there's always a method to the madness of him, you know, calling certain plays and why he's getting away from the run. There's a reason why he's not just doing it because he wants to get pass happy. He's doing it for a reason that may or may not work. But that is a good thing because, you know, the Texans are going to need Sean to do some boneheaded things. And this defense is going to need to help them.
Well, he hadn't gotten away from it that much this year. I mean, they're third in the league. They run for 140 yards a game. So, and then I would imagine Clint, you know, as you've worked with Sean, he's no fool. He understands that Will Anderson and I know he says you can't sack Bo. I don't know. I think Sean knows that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and D'Amico are a little different.
Yeah.
Right. And there can be problems made there.
Well,
so
Sean will
I bet you he runs the ball a lot more.
Or Sean will have a plan.
Yeah.
For both of those guys. Now, whether it works, you know, I don't know. But Sean will. I mean, he is one of the more detail oriented guys that I was ever around. And he was under Bill Parcells, and so that was a Bill Parcells thing as well. But there's no situation. There's no player, especially when it's the strength of Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, ultimately the identity of this defense. He will have a plan for those guys, whether it's run right at them, whether it's some kind of interesting blocking scheme, or it's a multitude of different kinds of chips. He'll have protections where the guards are pulling and getting out and helping when he's trying to move the pocket. There'll be an attempt schematically to keep those guys on their toes. And again, now whether they can execute it or not, or whether it backfires on them because they're trying to do too much or not, that could become a problem as well.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Benjamin Albright. Good to hear what he thinks about this team and the Broncos in this game. As it's a big one coming up on Sunday. All right. Let's do a little stock up, stock down. You can send yours in 713-572-4610 and YouTube and Twitch. You can send yours in and let us know who's your stock up, stock down.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that coming up next.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Every football season brings highs,
Yes! Rock and roll!
And Lowe's.
Every week, though. There's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on the Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
That is right. It is The Drive with Sterner and Hughley every Wednesday. Right around this time, we do a little stock up, stock down. It is a Texans Week 9 edition today with the Broncos coming to town. You were just tuned in with us. You heard Benjamin Albright, Broncos insider. He joined us at 3 p.m. If you missed it, you're going to want to go back and check that out. Benjamin was great. We had him on, I think, last year, but he was really, really good. A lot better than I remembered, to be honest with you, from last year. But it is stock up, stock down. We'll have CJ Stroud coming up for you next segment. And I want to start with you, Ron, the show, Hughley.
Let's do it.
As we enter week 9 for the Texans, Denver coming into Houston at NRG. What is your stock up for the Houston Texans?
All right, my stock up is Kamari Lassiter. He had a great pick. Mm. Great pick, singled up, one-on-one coverage, and he saw the ball was his, and he went and made a play. And I don't think that just the stock up is from that. Fellas, I think the stock up is really from this year, and I'm not going to lie to you, man. I think I had some concerns and wonder, all right, what is he going to look like coming out of year two? All right, and obviously with Stingley on the other side, that people were going to, I thought, take even more attempts and runs and run after him. And they have, but he has been right there to do what he does, and he still looks like a really, really good corner in this league in year two. And I would dare to say this, Clint, I think he's been the most consistent corner that they've had on the team. I think we've seen some moments where Derek Stingley has not looked like the Derek Stingley that we're accustomed to seeing. I think Kamari Lassiter has been pretty consistent. I think JSN got him, you know, once or twice, but he has been really, really good. And I think through the first 7 games of the year, I think he's been their best corner.
I don't think that's a stretch. I think in terms of play, in terms
just the
of
7
tape,
games, yeah, I'm not I, saying yeah. he's better than, but I'm just saying to this point.
You know, we've seen, I don't remember exactly what games it was, but we've seen, again, like we saw the last couple of years, where Derek Stingley Jr. early in games kind of gets, I think they target him a bit in certain routes kind of deal. And there's no debating what Derek Stingley does when the game's on the line, when it's the more critical moments of the game. But I think he kind of eases into games sometimes, and I don't think Kamari Lassiter ever lets his foot off the gas pedal. And he's made some big plays. And so, yeah, look, Kamari's stock is sky high right now.
So stock up for Ron the Show Hughley is Kamari Lassiter. Over to you, Clint Sterner. Week 9, Texans, Broncos upcoming on Sunday. What is the stock up for you around the Houston Texans?
Yeah, it's EJ Speed for me, man.
You've been on him.
Yeah, look, I really liked him coming in, but then you look at Henry Toa has been playing really good, and obviously Azeez Al-Shaair. And then you really don't know exactly what's going to go down with Christian Harris. I'm talking earlier in the year. And so you wonder kind of where EJ Speed fits in. And the contract, the money he was making, makes you wonder, like, did he come here for D'Amico Ryans and to make a big splash? Did he just come here and take less money? Or is he not? Is that just how good he is? Is that his ceiling? I thought he was a better player than the contract would say. And now that he's getting some run, I think he's significantly better than the contract that he's playing under right now. And the truth of the matter is, he's getting run and he's standing out when the other two linebackers in Azeez Al-Shaair and Henry Toa, but if we're being honest, it's Henry Toa that he's replacing a lot of the times when they're not playing a three linebacker front. I mean, his presence on the field is felt in a big way. And that's not because Henry Toa can't do X, Y, and Z. He's been really good. But the truth of the matter is, when you watch this film, it just seems like EJ Speed adds a dynamic to this defense.
Yeah, he was running with Christian. He was running with Christian McCaffrey sometimes in those pass routes.
Yeah, Ron, he closes too, man. I mean, like his ability to close and shoot gap. He's long. He's fast. He's aggressive and physical, and they all are. But I think he's a better athlete. I think he's a bigger, better athlete than the other two guys. And so when he's on his game, it jumps off the screen, in a different way. So I mean, getting in the game and making plays is enough for his stock to be up. But I think it actually changes the interior of that defense when he's in there. And so I'm going to go with EJ Speed.
You are tuned in to The Drive. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, Hughley, a little stock up, stock down. And it is week 9 for the Houston Texans edition with the Broncos coming into Houston. Got the positives done with. Now the not so good. Over to you, Ron. Stock down for the Texans in this moment for you.
I just want to say that this segment is forcing us to have to talk about the negative.
It's a great point.
Just because of what the segment is, and I don't want to do this.
You guys good?
But I have to play to what the segment is, and I am good. but if I had to go stock down, it's interesting. As you talked about EJ Speed, when I thought about stock down, I immediately thought about Christian Harris, because the biggest thing that I've seen Christian Harris do is get away with a personal foul 15-yard penalty by shoving JSN in the back for a silly reason. I think he would react to JS the same way that JSN did if it happened to him. EJ Speed is jumped over him in a major way. Henry Toa is over him. Obviously, the golden child Aziz is over him. It's just over. I think multiple injuries. We don't see Christian Harris. Like, I think the best bet for him is to get traded at this point. And he's a special teamer at this point. And you know, even when EJ Speed was on special teams before, you would see him make big hits. We're not even seeing Christian Harris come through there. And we know he's probably the most athletic dude out there, running out there. So to me, Christian Harris, much to do like with your stock up, he is a stock down, because I mean his position is just gone.
Look, I'm with you. I think the spot for Christian Harris is on that short list of very tradable players that'll bring some value back to the Houston Texans. The trade deadline is next Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and so when you start looking across the board, Daryl Taylor's one of them. At the edge, if he's healthy, you look at Christian Harris again. If he's healthy. Those are two guys on that defensive side of the football that I think could really be. Danico Autry could potentially be one, not both of those guys, but could potentially be one of them. You know, there's a handful of guys that are going to bring back value in some level of a trade, and Christian Harris probably belongs on that list more than he does on the field at this point.
So, Ron, the show stock down for the Week 9 Texans is going to be Christian Harris. Put a lid on this thing for us, Clint. Stock down for the Texans heading into Week 9 in your eyes.
Yeah, look, it's easy for me, man. It's Jaden Higgins, the top draft pick in this year's class, came in with a lot of hype. And look, I think his future is bright here. But what we've watched is a team that lacked depth from the very beginning of the season. We've seen Nico Collins miss one game. We've seen Christian Kirk miss four. We've seen Braxton Berrios, another veteran receiver, we've seen him be inactive for three or four games this season. And the guy that's continued to step up was the guy that originally was had more duty on the special teams part of it as a return specialist in Jalen Noel. And so, look, 13 catches for Jaden Higgins through seven games. Given how the wide receiver room has been injured or inactive or used on special teams, he's the one guy outside of Xavier Hutchinson that has been like, hey, man, you're a receiver. You're going to be a receiver every game. You're going to be active every game. For him to just have 13 catches at this point and really hasn't made any catches that are even like game-changing or situational change type plays. He's made some decent ones throughout games, but like not a big fade down the sideline, 50-50 ball, nothing, you know, that wasn't schemed up. The two touchdowns were schemed up, just wide open, running down the field kind of thing. So I'm going to go stock down on Jaden Higgins.
Yeah, his impact just hasn't – like, I feel like I've been saying it since training camp. I just thought he'd be further along. I thought he'd be further along.
I thought they would have used him.
Well, we're in week 9.
Yeah.
And they don't have an abundance of weapons mm-hmm. on the outside. They've got injuries. And, like, it looked to me no Christian Kirk, no Nico Collins – in a gotta-have game, and it looked like to me they were a lot more invested in trying to get Noel and Hutchinson
yep.
run and the ball as opposed to Higgins. I know he caught that touchdown there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought he'd be further along, and now we're in week 9. I feel like I feel like I'm surprised we're still saying that. All right, coming up, let's hear from C.J. Stroud, who threw Higgins one of his two touchdowns in the game against the 49ers. Let's hear what he's got to say as they get ready to play the Denver Broncos next. All righty.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You're a wizard.
All right, thanks, Tyler, for that.
Spooky season, man. You don't like Harry Potter?
No, I'm not. No.
In all seriousness, Harry Potter is amazing.
It's cost me a lot of money.
Good God.
It did, man. Not to mention the... I got away without having to get the books. Courtney's parents had to spend the money on that one for years ago. But all them wands, yeah.
You just had to get a new AC.
Nick, when we went to Disney World, Nick wanted a wand. Lauren wanted a wand. Trey wanted a wand. Courtney wanted a wand.
My wife had to have a wand.
Said, I'll pass. Go over there. They all got shirts.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Let me get out of here. Somebody who I don't think's a fan of. I don't know. You think C.J. Stroud's a Harry Potter fan?
Oh, I bet. It's really good. I bet he's a Gryffindor.
Probably is. Let's head to NRG and hear from the Gryffindor.
Ain't no Hufflepuff.
C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, talking to the media.
CJ, when it comes to the Broncos and some of the things they do, so you can ask the quarterback, what are some commonality things that you see with how Denver brings their rush?
Yeah, they have a really good rush. Starts on their edge, with Benito and, Coop. They do a good job, of playing relentless and, they don't give up. They play really tough in the interior. They have really good interior guys as well. So they're a really good D-line.
And remedy for counteracting that kind of
defense? Yeah, playing hard right back, scheme, trying to, do some things, to help our guys up front. So, I think it'll be a good matchup.
Like about Woody as a player, and what do you think has allowed him to succeed here early?
Yeah, Woody's very versatile. He can run, catch, he can block, he plays hard. So yeah, he's very versatile, he's brought that versatility to our team and our offense, and has done a lot of good things. Coming out the backfield, in run game and pass protection. Learning the new scheme. I think he's done a great job at it. So he's gonna be a great player for us.
CJ, what do you think the jumbo package that you all have been running with Blake Fisher has done for both you and this offense?
Yeah, it's great. I'm happy Blake's out there, being able to get some reps in, and it gives our team an advantage, I think, and in certain ways. We buy some in the run game, so I buy some in the pass protection. So having another, tackle out there. So I think he does a really good job.
CJ, what's the balance in working with a guy like Jalen Noel? Of course, he'll make some mistakes from time to time, but he's shown the explosiveness. Like, how do you balance that in developing that chemistry?
Yeah, I think it takes time, and I think, like I said before, it's like failure is a good thing. It's a chance to learn. Of course, you don't want to do it on Sundays, but if it does happen, you learn from it, you fix it. And I think he's super coachable. He wants to do what's right. He's in here, working his tail off, and at practice doing the same thing. So I think he's going to be a great player, and he's shown that week in and week out, of getting better, learning scheme, learning coverage, and, adapting to it. So I think he's going to be great.
It feels like y'all have pretty good chemistry on the deep ball early on. What do you think's going into that?
Just practice, and I think natural, God-given ability, maybe able to throw it, and then they're able to track it and catch it. So a little bit of both, but I think, we've got some good looks with a couple of deep throws, and it's just us being on the same page.
CJ, to break the huddle today and have 12 and 13 out there, what
did it mean? Great. Yeah, it was great. It was great. I'm so happy they're back. I know they're motivated, to be out there and the ball and, do all the things that we need them to do, to win more games. And, it'll help our team even take us to another level. So I'm super happy they came back at the same time, too. But, I think it's going to be great for us.
I know you're a bit of a baseball fan. Did you watch that crazy 18-inning game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was crazy.
Can you imagine playing in a game that lasts almost 7 hours?
No. I don't want to imagine it. But, you got to do what you got to do to win. And I think, you know, just for them to have that mental strength and the mental ability, you know, to, of course, physical as well, but to be able to grind through all that, you know, just to get a dub. And, yeah, it was cool, man. I'm happy. But, you know, then they came back. The next day I had to play right again. And then, you know, the Blue Jays won. So it'll be, I think it's a great, great, great matchup.
You have a really good chemistry with your offensive linemen on the field, and I even seen, you know, the video of you saying you had the game ball, but you wanted, you know, six more so you could pass them out. When you are around those guys, what is the chemistry like with them? I'm talking about just away from the field. Like, how do you all bond?
Yeah, we're all like, I think something that I think since – before I got to the league, I thought everybody was like super serious in the NFL at the time, but like we're really all big kids, you know, we're playing a kid game. So we're all goofy, you know, we mess around, play around. And I think, you know, my chemistry with those guys or my relationship with those guys is all different. Me and Tay have a different relationship than me and, you know, Ed or me and Jake and me and Titus or Lakin or Juice or Blake. We all have different relationships, I mean, like different type of things, but we're all, one thing was very common, we're all goofy, we mess around, crack jokes. It's like we're all brothers, you know, like brothers from different moms, or, you know, we just all have that bond where, you know, you spend a lot of time together. So you got to find things you like, things you don't like, and you don't kind of just, you know, bond that way.
They say Titus is the funniest in the offensive line. Do you get that as well from Titus?
Yeah, Titus is a character. He's funny.
Since you've been a rookie, you've made a point of either after the games or at podium thanking the Lord. You had a big one after the 49ers and you kind of went in a little bit more depth. Why is that moment important to you? And I've noticed, you know, fans of the NFL that aren't fans of the Texans have taken notice of it as well on social media.
Yeah, I think, and I said this to somebody the other day, like for a long time, giving God the glory came a routine, and it wasn't from the heart for a little minute. And I became to come prideful and full of myself, and the Lord had to strip me of those things, and I'm very grateful for it. And I've learned that being self-reliant and being, you know, prideful, or, you know, you're bound to fall. But the Bible does also say, you know, that He is just and He is just that He will forgive us as well. I'm just grateful that He's forgave me and gave me another chance to be in this position. But yeah, I think, I don't know, I believe that God is, I know my ministry right now is, you know, through my talent, that's football. But I'm not, it's not my identity, you know, a quarterback, but, you know, first and foremost, I'm a man of God and a child of God, which is way more important than being a man of God. So I'm a child of the Most High God. So I just try to, you know, encourage others and do what I can. And I don't ever want to speak out of turn, but I try to, you know, just give a little piece here and there, you know, on my journey, because I've had a long, long journey with the Lord where I backslid, lived away from God. And then also, you know, he's just like the prodigal son, has invited me back in with open arms. So I just think it's important that I share my faith, because, you know, I think if I can reach out to one person, you know, I hope we make heaven crowded. You know, I want to rob hell every day if we can do that. And if that's through post-game interviews or, you know, me just in the street talking to people about the gospel, then I'll do that. So, yeah, I just try to do that.
You have a relationship with Justin, but you saw Justin Fields get real emotional and mm-hmm. real vulnerable about what he said. To see a moment like that, what's that do to you, you know, say to you?
Yeah, I think I've known Justin for a long time now, you know, for about 5-6 years, you know. So to see his growth, you know, because we were all in college together, wild at one point, you know, just living our life, thinking that we're young forever, but when you learn from your mistakes and you learn that God uses all for your good and His glory, that's when you see, you know, the vulnerability, because you want to share your faith with everybody, because you learn that this stuff is not sufficient and it's not reliable, nor is it fulfilling. And so when you experience the love of Christ, experience the joy that He gives you, the peace, is when you want to share it to the world. And you can care less what happens, who cares, like, you can really, it does not matter, because you will want other people to experience that as well. And honestly, it's kind of crazy, because as people, we're kind of naturally selfish, but one thing I learned is about, like, the love of Jesus, you want to share it. And so with Him, I'm just so, you know, proud of my brother, you know, his growth with that and his vulnerability, because it's hard, you know. It's everybody thinks it's so easy what we do, probably, and it's really hard, because you got personal life, you got football life, you got family and all these different things, and then, you know, everything's talked about. So for him to, you know, and even internally for him, he had people talking about him that, you know, you would hope would not, and they did that. But for him to, you know, still have the courage to speak up about, you know, his walk, I think it was dope, and I'm just super proud of him.
Have you had a moment like that? I mean, DeMeco talked about it just a bit earlier this week about how there's been so much negative talk and, you know, you guys have had up and downs. Have you had a vulnerable moment like that?
I've had those all my life. No, everybody, I can look at everybody in here. We've all probably had our moments, you know, and you're not exempt because it's football. And especially you're spending time, I'm sure, with y'all and y'all work, you probably have an off day or two, or sometimes you're just in your emotions, you know. So, you know, we're all going through this life very, very in a similar fashion. I think that's something that, you know, I want to do is be able to give grace and mercy to people because that's what God's done to me. But, yeah, you have those moments. And I think, you know, the more you can be honest with God and then honest with yourself, I think, you know, it's room for improvement. And I don't want to get super biblical, but I'm a Bible nerd. At least now I am. And 1 John 1:9 says God is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins if we confess them. That's in the beginning of it. And then James 5:16 says if we confess our sins to one another, then we will be healed. And so that's a horizontal and a vertical representation on confessing your sins or confessing your emotions, confessing the things you're going through to one another, to God, and then to a fellow man. You can be healed by man, but God will forgive you. So I think that's very important and something that I've learned in my life.
While you were growing up as a kid, did you have a favorite Halloween costume to wear?
I was actually, which is kind of funny, I was actually Drew Brees for a couple years. I had a Saints, like, I don't know, I would go to, like, I don't know, what was Dick's Sporting Goods called back in the day? It was something else before it was Dick's Sporting Goods. Is it Sports Authority? Yeah, Sports Authority. I used to go to Sports Authority, and my dad bought me, like, this little plastic helmet with the jersey and the pants, and he used to throw me, like, 40 passes a night. And I was a little boy. I probably wore that for like 2 years straight. But, yeah, that's the one I can remember.
CJ in the locker room after the game on Sunday, Kamari was talking about how they weren't. He's like, I looked up. I don't think we were on the field for 5 minutes, you know, the way that you all, that the offense controlled the ball. You all played that complete game. When you all play like that, how exciting is it for you to be able to give – that defense that opportunity to, you know, to get some rest like that?
Yeah, I think they're well deserved of it. You know, I'm super happy to, you know, give them less on their plate as they can, you know. And I think that's something we've kind of done a decent job in is, you know, converting on third down, you know, staying on the field, you know, finding points. You know, we got to do a better job of getting in the end zone. But I definitely think that, you know, having those long drives and giving our defense a little break, you know, is good because I know how it is to be on the other side where, like, you feel like you're getting three and outs and you're not really catching your rhythm. You know, it's suffocating as an offense. So I think the better we can do that, you know, the more we can, you know, have that recipe win. And I think our special teams does a great job, you know, of handling those pressure moments too. So we're all playing together. I think it's a recipe for success. Thank you, guys.
All right, that was quarterback C.J. Stroud speaking to the media ahead of the Broncos game. Shout out to DeMeco and C.J. Stroud, who we heard from them both today on a Wednesday. Clint, what you got coming up?
There's something out there, boys, that we hadn't talked about. We've got to get to it. It happened Sunday at the game, not on the field, but it happened Sunday at the game. And we got to discuss it along with a little CJ Stroud presser reaction right there. We'll do that in Dirty's Daily next, right here on Sports Radio 610.